It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we talk property news 7 days a week, as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon on this Thursday morning. And it is May the 2nd for 2024. The weekend, tell you what, it isn't too far away. This week is absolutely flown past. It's never a dull moment here, I can tell you that. Now, Q Shelter, Queensland's premier housing and homelessness advocacy group, they have been in the news recently outlining proactive strategies for local governments to address the housing challenges. And I have to say, as you know, there's never a week that goes by and we're not talking about this major problem of homelessness and the expensive rise of rental costs. And Q Shelter has emphasised the crucial role of councils in housing solutions, planning for housing diversity, and collaborating with community housing providers. So joining us this morning from Q Shelter is Fiona Caniglia, and she is the executive director there. And a very good morning to you, Fiona. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Great to have you on.
Good morning.
So tell us firstly just a little bit about what Q Shelter does, a little bit about your organisation there in Queensland.
So Queensland Shelter works as a membership organisation, and we have two really broad externally facing aspects to our role. One is that we develop policy and investment solutions to unmet housing need and homelessness, and we advocate those. And secondly, we work to build system capacity to deliver those solutions. So we do a lot of training, we do a lot of engagement. We're a member-based organisation and we have stakeholders around the state, and we have staff distributed around the state as well, working to make sure we understand as well what regional needs look like in a vast state like Queensland.
So, yeah, as I mentioned, there's never a week that goes by that we're not kind of talking about the expense of rentals, which is leading a lot of people across the country into homelessness. And I know that you are advocating for rent hike caps and eviction protections, highlighting their significance in alleviating renters' fears. I mean, it's one of the major problems, isn't it? The rental hiking that has taken place over the last 2 years for your organisation, you're already under the pump, and this just sort of adding to that pressure cooker.
It really does. It's a very, very challenging time. And the reasons for why it is so challenging is because there has been a lack of long-term population-based planning for how much housing we need to meet the needs of Queenslanders. And that requires using data that we do have available to us about population predictions, which are based on a range of things in terms of birth rates, but also projections around inward migration. It's very, very important to get that long-term planning right. And you mentioned local governments before. They play a critical role because they develop planning schemes which says how much land there's going to be, what the zoning of that land will be, where we will site residential and other development. So that's a very, very important thing to achieve.
Okay, so just in terms of local government, just how much of a political football is that at the moment? Because one gets the impression that you guys are sort of hard up against it when it comes to local government.
Oh, look, I can say that there's been a lot of hard work done by local governments to develop planning schemes which interpret housing targets, which is very important. And there are over 20 local governments around Queensland working on housing action plans as we speak. So there's a lot of really positive things happening. Local governments sometimes have land, and some of them are in a partnership with not-for-profit community housing providers to help those community housing providers use that land to build social and affordable housing. The much bigger picture problem is that we do not have enough housing supply to meet the total population's demands.
Yes, there is never, ever enough resources when it comes to trying to tackle this very issue of homelessness and rental costs for lower incomes across Australia. And you're a very busy organisation there in Queensland. And good luck, Fiona, with Q Shelter moving forward. And all the best with those areas that we have highlighted this morning. Well, coming up next, we are off to the Gold Coast and asking the question, are there $500,000 properties to buy? And if so, where are they? And are you in a better position now, given that it's May 2024, to borrow money to buy? And I see that the Commonwealth economists have adjusted their interest rate predictions, now forecasting no rate cuts until November of this year, which does seem a long, long way away. They initially anticipated cuts in September, November, and December. However, a strong March quarter inflation figure has prompted a revision, indicating only a potential cut in November. And this alignment is right across all of the major banks, which underscores a unified outlook when it comes to interest rates being cut. So the short of it is you're going to have to just wait a little bit longer.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on The Real Estate Podcast.
And right now it is time for another 30-second property tip. We're going back to Mooloolabah to Hamish Balderston. And Hamish, what have you got for us this morning?
Look, I think for anyone looking to buy into a holiday unit complex where there's on-site managers, it's really important to understand what you can and can't do with those properties. Some people are coming up and buying those for Airbnb type situations, but what I'd suggest to most people is that they look into the strata rules really carefully there, because often we've found buyers have not done their due diligence buying and then finding that they have to rent them through the on-site managers where the returns aren't quite as good as what they would have expected.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
And joining me this morning is Justin Smith, the principal from Smith Estate Agents on the Southern Gold Coast, Northern New South Wales. And good morning to you, Justin. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast.
Good morning, Craig. Thanks for having me.
So you tell me that you are a third generation Coolangatta bred person, and I guess as a result of that, you know a thing or two when it comes to the Southern Gold Coast.
Certainly. Yeah, my family was my grandfather bought the block in Kira on Miles Street for 50 quid, and we were the 72nd phone line connected in 1946.
Wow, that's an interesting stat. That's a good one to pull out of the book.
It is. So if anyone asks, do you know the area? You're like, oh, a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about first home buyers that are looking at the Southern Gold Coast, because we know the Northern Gold Coast, it has been growing quite substantially since the COVID, of course. But what is unique? Your market is selling under 500K in the Southern Gold Coast, units under 500K. So talk a little bit about that, because there will be first home buyers that will be thinking, okay, that sounds reasonable. Tell me more.
Yes, there is the odd gem, particularly more so in New South Wales on the other side of the fence in Tweed Heads. You can still find the odd property under 500. They are very, very rare to come by. I would recommend if any first-home buyers are interested to get on people's databases, because in that price range, they're learning quickly anything under 650 is just flying off the shelf in multiple offers. And unfortunately, when they miss out two or three times, they learn very quickly. But there is some options in Tweed Heads West where you can still find good value. And there's no doubt growth is assured. You can see that the next 5 years. As Coolangatta gets too expensive in that postcode, the capital growth just flows over. I highly recommend any first-home buyers to consider the Tweed, Tweed Heads, Tweed Heads South, Tweed Heads West, Benora Point, if you can find something, because Kingscliff's expensive south, and then Coolangatta North, expensive north. And there's like this little enclave pocket of affordability that's still available for people if they want to get in. And I think they can't go wrong if they've got a, you know, a five-year plan in the Tweed area. Coolangatta, I don't even know if I can get any one bedrooms around 500 anymore. But Tweed, which is only like 5 minutes that way, you can still find the odd price point.
Now, we know that the area is starting to really develop and mature, much like the Gold Coast, the northern Gold Coast part. So tell us a little bit about, you know, since the COVID broke out, it was into lockdown, which was never fun for many of us. And then after COVID, things started to sort of mature, a lot more interest as a result, I think, because of that example that I gave with Southport, those properties. You know, they're starting to get quite expensive, but there is some affordability where you are.
It took a little bit to recover here in Coolangatta Tweed. It took about a good 12 months. That border lockdown, we were sort of very much forgotten. You know, anyone Kingscliff South didn't know anything was going on. Anyone Corumba North didn't know. We were sort of like just left off the table, but it really did impact businesses and lifestyles. It was quite tragic. It took about 12 months for businesses, maybe about 18, to recover. COVID, the peak of COVID was, the market was, say, February, March 2022. We've just really noticeably recovered now, but you didn't really feel that until about first quarter, no later than, say, June last year. We sort of came out of that, and then came in the baby boomers and the lifestyle seekers that have just, you know, what was interesting about Coolangatta is the apartment market didn't drop as much as the houses. Credit to the downsizing people. But yeah, the southern Gold Coast, the secret's out because we have a perceived better lifestyle, which is, I think, in my opinion, so true. And compared to, so the coast is interesting. It's sort of like Burleigh South and then Burleigh North is like a different type of feel. And the southern Gold Coast is a lot more generational, a lot more tightly held, less transient, less density. Due to the geography, it's also just got, you know, a bit more water, a bit more trees, and it's just overall just a better feel, in my opinion, for people. Like Burleigh North has just become very, very busy. People from north are coming south, people from south are coming here, and it's just a different flavour to what it was before COVID, but the whole coast is experiencing that. But this place is definitely not going to be going backwards anytime soon.
All right. Well, good to have a chat with you there on the southern Gold Coast. As you mentioned, I think you're selling from Ballina right through to how far do you go?
Up to about Pimpamine, Ormo.
Right. Well, that's a big range, isn't it?
Got a big team. Yes. Yeah, well, being born and raised on the Gold Coast, you know, like we don't just specialize in one area because my family's been here for so long and I know so many people everywhere. As a boutique firm, we just go wherever our clients need us to go. And we get a good grasp of the entire market because we do all different price points, all different suburbs. We don't just specialize in one suburb because it's just the way that the business has unfolded. So, you know, I sold a property in Labrador a couple of weeks ago, a few in Narang, Mermaid, Broadbeach. We just got contacts from Ballina all the way up to the northern Gold Coast. You know, Pimpamar and Ballina, well, really, it's for us, it's only like 40 minutes drive away or 45 minutes. So it's really not that logistical. Basically far for us to service, yeah.
All right then, Justin. Well, thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Really appreciate it. I think it's just going to continue to develop in your area in the next 12 months, no doubt about that. Good luck. Have a great day.
You too, Craig. Thanks again and all the best.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
And then once you invested it, you want to wait over maybe 10 years, 20 years to multiply that money. And then the last stage is actually maintaining money, which can be the hardest part. As we see, you know, most people lose their wealth within two or three generations.
Now, I just want to come back to something that you said, Daniel, driving a freight train, listening to podcasts.
Yeah, so I drove freight trains from the age of 20, 21, all the way until I was about 28. I used to drive them out of Sydney, used to drive them regional and pick up all the wheat out at like Cootamundra, Junee, and take it to the ports of Wollongong to be exported. So yeah, I used to listen to a lot of podcasts because I would spend 10, 12 hours driving and there's not much to do when you're looking at the outback. So I would listen to podcasts and I would learn. I would always be focusing on education and how I could better myself so that I could get myself out of the situation of driving freight trains.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.